Welcome back to the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. We are on episode 6, or you could even call it 5B. We are doing manual brewing part 2 today, and that is walking through some of the manual brewing methods, taking the variables that we talked about last week and discussing these different methods to
show you what's really useful and to kind of give you, to narrow down to a couple different brew methods that we really like. Because if you go to the store, you go to the coffee store, aka Amazon or something like that, there's so many different manual brew methods out there right now that it can almost be overwhelming and trying to find a good place to start. And if you don't know how to brew with it, or you don't know what kind of filters, what kind of coffee, it just becomes kind of, it's a lot easier to just use your pot at home. But really, manual brewing gives you a unique experience, something that you can only really do with a unique brew method. And we're going to chat a little bit about those today.
Yeah, so we'll just take it brew method by brew method. And we'll start with probably one of the most universally used at this point, and that's the V60. Which V60 actually named because of the degrees of the angle at which the brew method forms a cone. And it's actually a literal cone. Some cone brew methods are called cones when they're actually more of a wedge. V60 is a ceramic cone made by Hario out of Japan. And this brew method I particularly like. I find it really helps me get the kind of cup that I want to get, using a paper filter that provides a really clean cup, really gets me going for my first cup in the morning.
Yeah, what's interesting about the V60 is it hit the market, I'd say, about 10 years ago, and it's a little bit more finicky than your normal like Melitta that you can find on a grocery store shelf. But I think once you master the V60 brew method, you get a really consistent cup day in, day out, but it is a little finicky. So first thing we're talking about, as Drew said, it's a ceramic cone. You can find them in glass. You can find them in metal. We like the ceramic ones. It just retains heat really well. Once you preheat the cone, it kind of just resonates a little bit of heat in there, which is nice. Type of grind, Drew, what kind of grind do you usually use for a V60?
Pretty fine. I mean, not super fine. You're not going to go anywhere near espresso, and not quite as fine as you would with an AeroPress, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's definitely a little bit more fine than your typical, you know, coffee of the day grind, because you're brewing at a pretty fast, like it's a pretty fast brew. For a 12-ounce beverage, you're looking at a brew time between 2.5 and 4 minutes. So the water's not on the grounds very long. You want to be able to extract everything you need out of the coffee in that short brew time, so you want to make sure that your grind is pretty fine.
So what was that brew time again?
2.5 to 4 minutes. 2.5 would be the absolute fastest, and then 4 minutes would be the absolute most, because you're not dealing with that much coffee normally in a V60, so if your brew goes any longer than 4 minutes, odds are pretty good you're going to over-extract your beans.
Yeah, normally in the number 2 sized Hario, which is what we sell in cafe, usually you can fit somewhere between 24 grams and 50 grams of coffee in there at any given time. It yields about, 12 ounces brewed well. So a quick brewing lesson for everyone. So our window of brewing time is about 2 minutes, 30 seconds to 4 minutes for a V60. If my brew is going too slow, what should I do?
Odds are pretty good you've ground your coffee too fine for the filtering medium you're using, and your grounds have clogged your filter. You should take your grind a little bit more coarse.
Mm-hmm. Every grinder is not universal, so play around with it a little bit when you try your first brew method. You'll eventually dial it in. As long as you hit somewhere between that 2:30 to 4 minute mark, you should get a really nice cup of coffee every single time.
Mm. V60 uses a paper filter, so those are made specially for the V60.
It's one of the downsides of the V60 is you have to buy these special kind of cone shaped filters. I mean, they're nice, they're cheap, but you can't use them in any other brewer.
So let's move on from the V60. I think if I were to say, should somebody who's just getting into home brewing use a V60, I'd say, yeah, probably. It's pretty easy it's cheap to get, pretty easy to use. It takes a little bit of practice to dial it into the perfect cup. By and large, it's pretty easy to use.
Pretty consistent brewer. You don't fail at it that often. It doesn't go awry. It's consistent once it works.
It's hard to really screw up.
It's hard to screw up. And for those of you listening that might have a different style of cone dripper at home, same basic philosophy applies. Like, there's a paper filter. You drip the coffee through Bon Mac, Bonavita, Melitta, Kalita is another dripper, but same basic principle. You might just need to tweak the grind a little coarser, a little finer, depending on that brew method. Same basic ratio, though, 24 grams of coffee in, 360 grams of water into the system.
So we'll move from V60. Let's tackle then something that's of similar size, Kalita Wave. So the Wave has really gained a lot of popularity recently, and it's available in metal, glass, and then ceramic forms. The difference between the V60 and the Kalita Wave, or a difference, is that the Wave is actually a flat bottom, which is why a lot of people are actually high on this brew method, because in theory it could provide a little bit more even extraction of your coffee grounds, that the water isn't funneling through an uneven bed of grounds. The grounds are laid out even, and then it's got three holes in the bottom of this flat bottom to promote for even water pass through and extraction. But that's assuming that you're brewing in a way that allows for even water dispersal as you pour. The Wave has a lot of upside in theory, but it is probably just as finicky in operation as the V60.
Kalita Wave takes a special paper filter just like the V60. I mean, it's not the same shape, but you have to get a special filter for it. If you're not brewing on an even surface, I wouldn't recommend this brew method because one of the holes will not actually allow it to filter through, so you'll easily over-extract. And you need to play around with the grind a little bit. It takes a coarser grind. It takes about the same grind size as your normal flat bottom drip machine at home. Some people really like the consistency and ease of this brew method, but I think the V60 is probably the easiest brew method for that, and we'll talk about some others in a little bit.
And the Wave is a lot more expensive actually than the V60, so V60 is going to be cost effective and it's going to be pretty easy starting out, and the upside is just not there maybe to warrant the investment in the Wave unless you're just really geeky and looking for something new. Let's go maybe to something that's super accessible and maybe a good first step for the manual brewer. And Christian, I'm going to let you pretty much parse this one out because you have more experience in it, and that would be the Clever.
This is one of my favorite drip methods, and it's kind of a hybrid brew method. So what it is, it's shaped like a normal pour-over cone, with the exception it has like a locking contraption on the bottom. So what you do is you actually put the filter in. It's a little paper filter. You put in your coffee, you put in the water, and everything brews in the top chamber. So you set your time to 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, depending on your grind size. And when you're ready to brew the coffee, you place it on top of the cup, and then it brews down. So really what it is, it's like a hybrid version of a French press tethered together with a filter. It's a really awesome brew method. I actually took it along with me camping this past weekend. Makes really easy, really consistent coffee.
So I had one, I guess, bad experience with the Clever, and that was at a local multi-roaster. But I don't think the issue was so much with the brew method as it was with the coffee that was being used. It was kind of a cruddy Peruvian.
Yeah, I would say if you've ever had a bad experience with the brew method, with the exception of boiling coffee in a pot or a percolator, someone screwed it up and you should give it another shot because you make great coffee with it.
Yeah, that's super fair. Just as human beings, sometimes we can have this one and done mentality, like, oh, I gave it a shot and it didn't work out. But we could really be selling something short. Definitely be willing to take some time with whatever brew method you select to learn it. Try messing with your variables because it may just be user error if you're not getting the right cup profile you're looking for. Let's go to a golden oldie. Golden only when done right. So French press really was huge and is huge for a lot of people just getting into manual brewing. It kind of has that artisanal look. Open glass if you're buying one of the ones from Bodum. It's just a really pretty looking brewer. But for a lot of baristas that are getting more and more into some drip methods, they kind of look past this one for a while. But I think there's a lot of upsides to the French press if done right. And there's also some interesting innovation happening with the French press.
Yeah, the French press I think is by far the simplest brew method to do. You put coffee in the bottom of a cylinder. You add water to the top, and 4 minutes pass, 5 minutes pass, you take a metal plunger and you plunge it down and you have coffee ready to go. The reason that a lot of baristas kind of look down on it is it's so simple. And I think in its simplicity, I think it's really a delicious brew method. It has a different texture because it has unfiltered solids in it, and it also has the same kind of oils you would get in an espresso. So it's not as, quote-unquote, a clean-up cup as a filtered coffee, but it can still give you a really interesting experience.
So that's the original French press, and now we're starting to see some innovations actually to try and clean up the cup, so to try and filter out some of those undissolved solids to give you still that nice steeped body and full extraction with the clean, brighter mouthfeel. And we're seeing this actually from the brand Espro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What they're doing is they're actually double filtering, so that there's still that kind of the push down filter, but then there's a really, really fine mesh on the second layer of their filtering to help give you that super clean cup. At the end of the day, really what you're left with is this taste profile that's really reminiscent of cupping without the grounds, without the grit. So you're really getting a full representation of what that coffee was without necessarily highlighting any particular aspect of the coffee.
There also have been a couple other cool innovations like the soft brew and the Ava Cafe Solo, which have taken away the plunger in exchange for like a carafe style where you pour over a metal filter. And this as well can create kind of a cleaner cup of coffee. It's really kind of a cool, same basic principle. They tend to be a little bit more expensive, so I would say not your intro brew method, but really clean, really easy way to do this.
And they're pretty.
Do you see the other brew method that just came on the market? It was like a French press where you broke it like you would if you were cupping, but then you had to skim off the top.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, and so it was very cool until you're like, wait, no one's going to spend the time to skim off this up. Maybe someone who's really into cupping might like that. The goal is to give you the same kind of cup profile that a cupping does, but I just can't see people taking two spoons in the morning and trying to skim off their coffee before they drink it.
So then the options for the French press really are a coarse mesh filter, or in this new Espro design, you get the double filter with a nice fine mesh.
If you're experimental, you can also put a paper filter inside the metal filter on your French press, and you can get some pretty decent results. Use a flat-bottom filter for that. Nice little hack I've tried. It actually cleans up the cup quite a bit.
I think it is also important that we clarify that the coffee-to-water ratio that we recommended in our last episode is pretty much universally applicable. The only time one would really deviate from that ratio would be if you're messing with something like espresso, or even AeroPress, it changes just a smidge. And that's where we'll go next, is to the AeroPress, which is really a great brew method in terms of its versatility and the fact that you can take it anywhere.
I just love that it's made by a Frisbee company.
And it's plastic, so it's really, 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 really hard to break.
Yeah, the Aerobie AeroPress has been kind of like this weird, like scientific-y brew method that uses kind of a function of pressurization, a little bit of French press, and a little bit of drip filtration all into one device. We like to use it like a modified drip pour over, actually. We messed around with the inverted method. I think it ends up getting a little messy to do it that way. You can try inverted AeroPress, and if you just Google a picture of an AeroPress, you'll figure out pretty quickly what we're talking about. With this method, you add the coffee, you add water, and then you insert a plunger, which actually holds the coffee in the chamber. And then when you're ready to brew the coffee, you take the plunger and you just push down, and it exerts about one bar of pressure, which isn't a whole ton, but it does give you a little bit of an extra a push to brew that coffee.
Upsides of this is if you like a pretty intense flavor profile, that AeroPress is right up your alley. Downside is it is pretty technical, and it's a little difficult to get the hang of. I know if you don't plunge straight, then you can basically cause your coffee to explode all over your face. I've done that when brewing an AeroPress. And then if you don't have a grinder that gives you a nice, fine, even grind, your extraction is going to be all wonky. And then if you're not brewing with the right amount of agitation and duration in the process, your extraction also is going to be a little messed up. So it's a pretty technical brew, but it's very, very fun. There's a lot of competitions around the country and even internationally around AeroPress brewing. I definitely recommend it for somebody who's looking for something fun and unique, but for somebody who's just looking to get into manual brewing, even though it's cost-effective, as the AeroPress is pretty cheap, I don't think it's definitely not what I would recommend.
There are a couple of hacks you can do with the AeroPress. Normally, it comes with paper filters, and you use a fairly fine grind for that. There is a metal filter that's available for the AeroPress, which can kind of, I don't know, it changes the brew method just a little bit. You use a little bit of a coarser grind on that method. Also, it makes a pretty cool iced coffee dripper. Maybe we'll write a blog about that someday. But I've had some pretty awesome iced coffee off an AeroPress.
So V60 has a flavor profile that's pretty clean. And if you're using a light roasted coffee, it really highlights the nice acidity within the coffee. An AeroPress really has a flavor profile that exemplifies sort of a beefiness. And I say beefiness, I mean it exemplifies the body. As it is a bit of a bridge between drip coffee and espresso, with some degree of pressure extraction, it does highlight the body of a lot of coffees. So if you're looking to get the most out of your medium roast or even your dark roast, the AeroPress would be right up your alley. Super sexy brew method that's very commonly asked about is the siphon, and that's because sometimes it involves fire.
Yeah, the siphon is a very dramatic brew method, and it's also one of the oldest brew methods. It dates back to about the time when the French press was launched. And what happens is there are two chambers, and then there's a fire underneath it. And you put water in the bottom chamber, you put coffee in the top chamber, and you put a cloth filter that's attached by a little metal spring on the bottom. And what happens is that water in the lower chamber is heated to a boil, and then the water vapor expands and starts to push water up into the top chamber. And that water up in the top chamber is actually at ideal brewing temperature. Once the coffee is finished steeping, you turn off the heat and the coffee siphons through the filter back down into the bottom chamber. It makes a really awesome cup of coffee, but not a beginner's cup of coffee. Very complicated, very technical, and I've broken two siphons myself. It's very, very fragile glass.
Just managing the heat and then taking care of your equipment can be difficult, but it is very, very cool brew method for sure. Is there anything we should be on the lookout for? Kristen, you said earlier there's a ton of manual brewing methods. Some are invaluable and some are overblown.
I would agree that some are kind of overblown. There's a perception, especially for folks that are really used to using their one style of brewing at home, that there's going to be a lot of energy going into it. And for those people, I'd say just switch to a French press. Let's try something really easy. It's a huge step up from using an at-home percolator or any kind of method that actually boils the coffee. And a lot of home brewers actually boil your coffee, uses water that's too hot. And I'm not hitting on the percolator. It just doesn't work well for brewing coffee. It takes water that's way too hot, and it actually extracts things out that are bitter from the cup. It's just the way that it's designed. And some people swear by it, and if you love it, brew it. Like, more power to you. But in order to get the most out of coffee, you want to make sure you fix your variables, as we talked about in the last episode. So making sure that we're brewing at the right temperature, and that's one of the benefits of using a manual brew method, is you can control all your variables. And you have a couple more variables that you're in control of, but you have the opportunity to control temperature, time, amount of water, amount of coffee, duration. It's a lot easier to make a really good cup of coffee once you know what you're doing.
The last method we're going to talk about is one of our favorites here at Stone Creek, and you'll even see it in some of the imagery that we use in terms of brewing and learning, and that is the Chemex. And there's a lot of reasons why we like the Chemex.
It is a very interesting brew method. It's kind of an all-in-one pour-over. It's an older brew method, so again, it dates back to the 1940s and 1950s when it was originated. So we're trying to figure out how to articulate the last name of the inventor of the Chemex. His first name is Peter. He was a doctor. It's Schlumbaum, I think.
That's
Schlumbaum,
pretty close.
Something like that. So it was invented in 1941. So it's a brew method that's been around for a while. And what's unique about it is it uses a pretty thick paper filter atop, And you use kind of a coarser grind size, but you get a really, really beautiful, sweet, juicy cup of coffee out of it.
We brew this a lot at Stone Creek. We have a lot of meetings, so we want to provide coffee for those meetings. And the Chemex gives you the ability to brew enough coffee for, you know, up to 5 or 6 people if you're consuming 6 ounces at a time. So what we're going to do, actually, is we're going to jump up to our cupping lab, and we're going to brew up a Chemex. We're going to kind of walk through our process for brewing and try and articulate as best we can what we're doing. We're, of course, limited with the audio format, but there's a lot of tutorials around the Chemex. We just want to walk through each variable involved in brewing, and that's how we'll wrap up today's episode. So we're going to go upstairs. All right, we're in the lab now. This is where the magic happens. We've got our small Dietrich behind us, our Malcona grinder, and all sorts of coffee. And we're working with the brew method we probably use most at Stone Creek, our Chemex. And we are brewing a really special coffee, and we want to just kind of walk through the process that we're using. And of course, that starts with this special coffee.
We're brewing coffee from a mill called Santa Rosa 1900. It's in the high highlands of Tarazu, Costa Rica. This is a Via Sarchi that has a red honey process on it. Just means it tastes really good, and you should get some soon, because by the time you're listening to this podcast, it'll only be around for another 2 weeks.
All right, so for a Chemex, let's say we're brewing for two, maybe three people. What's our coffee dose going in?
I usually do about 48 grams going in. So first thing you do is you pull out your kitchen scale. So 48 grams going in. And then for a Chemex, what we're using is a fairly coarse grind. On this Malcona grinder, I'm going all the way to an 8. But this is just finer than a French press. So you're thinking kind of really coarse sand texture.
So as Christian gets set to grind that, I'm pulling water out of our water tower. And we're running 203 degrees. Sorry about that noise. I'm getting ready to pre-wet our filter. And those of you not familiar with a Chemex, Chemex comes, normally in large sheet filters. You can get them pre-folded or you can get them by the sheet. I recommend to get them pre-folded. And just follow the directions that come on the box for inserting the filter into the brewer. You just pull one side of your square fold out, and then you put the side with three sheets or three layers towards your spout. Set that on your scale and then pre-wet your filter. You should always pre-wet your filter to remove any loose paper particles, and then also that helps preheat your carafe. And in the Chemex, of course, your carafe is your brewer.
Pro tip, when you're removing your brew water, pour out of the non-spouted side. It'll actually pour out easier due to better airflow.
All right, so we have our Chemex preheated, rinsed, filter rinsed, coffee ground. Coffee's going in.
48 grams in. And the minute the coffee hits, you want to settle the grounds bed. Then you want to hit tear on your scale because you're only going to be measuring water.
And then you start your brew. And brew always starts with a bloom. Then with the Chemex, you're going to run a bloom of anywhere from, depending on your brew ratio, 70 to 100, maybe even up to 120 grams of water, just because you want to make sure you fully saturate the grounds that are in there, but you don't want to oversaturate them and start a big extraction before you need to. When we're running a bloom, we're always going to try and run that as close to 30 seconds as possible.
All right, the next step in the brew method is to set the grounds bed. And I usually set the grounds bed at about 300 grams of water, so I add about another 200, ending at 300 there. And once I start to notice the brew kind of making a concave shape in the bottom, I'll start to add a little bit of water. You never want to have all the water filter through at any given time. So I start to pulse water back in about 50 grams. And I'm saturating the entire grounds bed. Some people are a little superstitious. They don't like washing around the edges, but we actually did some experiments and found that it made a more consistent brew more even brew if you take all those grounds and stir them up.
Yeah, the problem with letting your grounds rest upon the side can be that as the water drains, it actually exposes some of the grounds to air, which starts a cooling process, so your temperature your ability to maintain temperature isn't as good at that point. So being sure to rinse the side is definitely not a bad thing, as long as with the Chemex, you make sure you're agitating your grounds appropriately to make sure that the water disperses across the grounds and promotes even extraction. So up at this point, we're at about 2 minutes into the brew time, 450 grams of water in.
Looking for a finished weight of 720 grams.
The ideal brew time for a Chemex, which Chemex, because of the coarse grind and the really fine filter, actually takes a little bit longer than your typical brew. Earlier, we suggested a 2.5 to 4 minute brew time for the V60. With the Chemex, you have a little bit more flexibility. Somewhere between 4 minutes and 6 minutes is pretty typical for the larger brew that you normally find with a Chemex. At this point, we're 600 grams in. We are 3.5 minutes into our brew time. Christian is about one pour away at this point from finishing this up. One thing you want to be sure of when you're doing a larger brew batch, particularly in the Chemex, is your water in the kettle, depending on the makeup of your kettle, may cool. So at the end of your brew time, the water temperature of your kettle may be down as far as 195, 190, even 180. If you have a kettle that actually maintains temperature when it's on the heating base, that's awesome. If not, if you're pulling water out of a tower, you may want to actually dump your water halfway through the brew process and refresh with hot water to make sure you maintain that optimal brew temperature of 200 to 205 degrees. So now we're at 720 grams of water in to our initial coffee weight of
48 grams. It's a 15 to 1 ratio like we talked about in our first brewing podcast.
Nice coarse ground. We're going to end this brew. Water's about to pass through right about the 5 minute, 15 second mark, which is pretty much perfect for the Chemex. Pour this up, taste it. I'm sure it's going to taste amazing because every taste I've had of the Santa Rosa so far has been amazing. Christian and I were at this farm late February? Early March? What was that?
Early March. Yeah.
They were just wrapping up, actually, their picking. They had the tail end of their picking cycle on the beds.
It's my favorite name of producer out there. His name is Macho. Macho Naranjo.
Beautiful farm. Some of the most magnificent vistas in Costa Rica. The Terrazu region is just gorgeous. This is really close, actually, to another producer that we work with. Cerro Verde, the micro mill there, and the fact that we get to work with both of those producers in any given year is just fantastic.
And just the drive in León de Cortés and Tarazu, Costa Rica is beautiful between Santa Rosa and San Francisco.
Filter's coming out.
The Chemex always give it a little swirl just to mix up the brew that's in there and then serve.
What we like to use is cupping bowls, so we serve small amounts. And we do this for our own benefit because we taste it while it's hot, and then it doesn't take that much time to cool.
Cheers.
Santa Rosa's got a just fantastic body. When it's hot, you get hit with a lot of chocolate up front, but then it really opens up to a great sort of juicy mouthfeel.
Get some nice notes of stone fruit, a little bit of citrus. The variety here is VSRC. It's just nice and sweet due to that red honey process.
Super clean. In this particular roast profile, there's no hint of grain. There's not like the kind of raw banana flavor profile you get in under-roasted beans. We've really tried hard to balance the natural acidity and fruitiness that is in this coffee with the sweetness and chocolate-like essence to bring a balance to the cup.
So here are my top three tips for successful manual brewing at home. First, use clean water. That's the number one thing that gets in the way, is that you're not using good quality filtered water. So look at that first. Two, make sure you're using a good grinder and a grind that matches the brewing type. If it goes too slow, your grind is too fine. If it goes too quickly, your grind is too coarse. The last and most important is to use high-quality coffee. That'll make all the difference. Folgers does not make good manual brews.
And then my top three recommended manual brewers. These, I think, just every manual brewer needs to have in their house. The rest are optional. V60, because it's great for an everyday single-person brewer. It's quick. It's easy to clean. It provides a great cup of coffee. Chemex, because you can provide coffee for your party. You have people coming over. You want to brew coffee for your family. It can up that sort of dose and still provide you with a great, clean, awesome, transparent cup of coffee. And then the last would be the AeroPress, and that's for the day you're feeling adventurous or you're going camping. You need something you can take with you that's not going to take up a lot of space. AeroPress is awesome for that. And actually, a quick hack, you can buy a Porlex hand grinder. It is a steel shell with a ceramic grinder on the inside, and that actually breaks down and fits terrifically inside of an AeroPress. So it's the perfect camping coffee setup right there. But those three brewers, V60, Chemex, AeroPress, I think every manual brewer needs to have. So look forward to our chat in 2 weeks about home roasting with our own Sam Wallman.
I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for it too. And what we'd like in the meantime from you is, if you're enjoying our podcast or if you're not enjoying it but listening anyway, please give us some feedback. You can email us at podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com, or you can leave a review on iTunes, which we would also really appreciate, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Stone Creek Coffee with one E at the end of that. I definitely would love to know what you think, and if you would like to hear us tackle a topic that's important to you, just hit us up on one of those outlets and we will do our best to oblige. Till next time, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.